Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlight, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I don't know if you heard in our earlier programs, we're hopefully going to have it soon, to be able to see this wonderful aqua experience with Pat on a big airbag in California. What's that called? What is that called? Was Auger was the name of the individual, right? It was Auger.
No, it was Ober.
Well, Ober.
The guy that did it.
Yeah, Ober.
Actually, it was Ober and my son.
Ober.
There's two of them Ober. Jumped.
Yeah, jumped.
And threw me to my death.
Yeah, and you got to make sure you look for that. You know, we're going to have that if you know, when you're listening, let's go to the VFN Torch and see. It's a beautiful thing. And if you hear somebody laughing in the background.
You know who it was.
That was the funniest thing. That was so funny. And I did not get out and do that. You got to catch that. It's Pat dying, and now he's born again. He survived it.
That's really
he went back. You went back.
Did it twice.
Yes.
Stupid.
And had bruises.
The second time almost died. Seriously died. That was painful.
He landed flat on the water.
That was very painful.
It was like, blah. It was not good.
Mm-mm.
It was not good. You know, God is so good. I mean, he's just so good. And when the enemy starts coming against your perception of the goodness of God, it's because quite often we've entered into a place of works and we're thinking like, I've got to carry this thing. I've got to do this thing. And because God's going like, what? What? Vapor man. You know? What? You know?
Vapor man.
Vapor man. That's it. Vapor man.
Aha.
Vapors.
Who?
He got the vapors. The life, as he says, James says, it's like life is like a vapor. It's mm-hmm. short. It's like a burp. It's just short.
He
a vapor.
Went there.
It's like it's just a vapor. And so, I mean, you think about it when you start thinking about you're the one doing this thing. And since you're not, everything gets heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of, if you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. This is the most, to my belief, an accurate vision from the Lord. The Torch and the Sword, written by Rick Joyner. And it's just this prophetic journey that God took him on, just connecting these scenes of amazing reality of what it's like. But, you know, God's called us to be torchbearers. I know you mm-hmm. always see, as you can see, you know, with us right now, that we have a torch always burning.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause he's called us to be the light of the world. I mean, him in us, telling others what he's told us. I mean, he's called us to do that. And sometimes life can get heavy. You know, what you're doing can get heavy, and it only gets heavy because you stepped away from the very one that gives you the ability to carry life, to carry those responsibilities, to do that ministry, to be a father, a mother, to be an employer, whatever it is that you're doing for God. And it just gets heavy. God is the one doing this thing. In this vision with the Lord, he gives Rick this torch, Rick Joyner this torch, and you know, there's a lot of dimensions to it, and it's a beautiful torch, and it's gold, and it's just real light, and he's just really just enjoying it. And he's like, this is great, and this is a great feeling. And next thing you know, Jesus starts walking along this beach, and he just kind of is enamored with the torch and not thinking it's important to keep up with Jesus. And all of a sudden, he's sort of realizing that this thing is getting heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting harder to hold up. And all of a sudden, he's realized, I need to run and catch up with Jesus. So he runs and catches up with Jesus, and all of a sudden, it's light again. It's so important because when life's getting heavy, I mean, the very thing that God asks you to do is when that's getting heavy, your business, ministry, marriage, whatever it is, family, and it's like, have you left Jesus? I mean, were you walking with Jesus at one time, but now you're doing it yourself? You know what? You began in the spirit. Now you're trying to fulfill it in the flesh. This is what he says. I mean, in a letter. He wrote this in a letter. This is the email that Paul sent to the church at Galatia. No, it was a letter. He said, you foolish. Galatians, you foolish Hellenians, Orlandoans, Pensacolians, you know.
Kentamites.
Kentamitians. Mm-hmm. What's begun in the spirit? Who's bewitched you? Who's bewitched you that you think what's begun in the spirit, what I did through my son, the work that I did, now you're going to try to do what I did? Who cut in on you? You were running a good race.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did I do these things amongst you because you obeyed some law or because you believed? And understand that, like when Rick was walking down that beach and Jesus started walking, he chose not to walk. It was the distance between him and Jesus that caused life to be heavy, caused the torch to be heavy. We don't have a choice. When you're walking in God, you got to walk with God. There's no such thing as walking with God without walking with him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense?
Right. Oh, yeah.
I'm so surprised sometimes because you're thinking, you know, because you see people, right? And you're thinking, well, I'm walking with God. They're walking with God. And then you find out that they left God a long time ago. Mm-hmm. How are you? Oh, now I know why everything's so heavy for you. I know why everything's so miserable for you. You left God.
Mm-hmm.
You thought you could just stop on the beach with what God's given you, and even though Jesus moves on, and you were going to do it all yourself.
Yeah, it's huge because it's like you look at that encounter when Rick was riding, and he got focused on the torch. He got focused on looking, and like you're saying, it was just the beauty of it. And so often it's just like we see that, we're looking at that, and like you're saying, what Jesus was continuing to walk. Mm-hmm. And that so is revealing because oftentimes when we see what God's doing, we can get caught up into what God's doing and losing sight on God. And in the whole while, keeping our heart's gaze on God, regardless of what happens or what doesn't happen, because it's not about what's being done. We praise God in that, but continue to walking with God no matter what happens.
Which means stay in close proximity to Jesus. Abide mm-hmm. with him. You cannot mm-hmm. do this alone. Apart from abiding in him, you cannot carry this torch. Apart from abiding in him, he says it. Mm-hmm. Jesus says it. You can do nothing.
Mm-mm.
You cannot carry that marriage. You cannot carry that family. You cannot carry that job. You cannot carry that ministry. You cannot do it, sir. You cannot do it, ma'am. Young man, you cannot do this without abiding with Jesus. But if you'll abide with him, he will empower you
mm-hmm.
to do this. He's the one that does it through you. Now, he doesn't do everything like some of the messages people are talking about, but he does it through you. He empowers you to do it. He doesn't pick up your hands like a puppet and make it, but he gives you this grace to obey, this grace, the ability to carry this torch, for example. You got to remember, I think about Ezekiel 36, chapter 36, 25 to 27, you know, when God's, you know, talking with Israel here because they've sinned over and over and over and over and over and over again. The remedy for what was going on was God to do something, not for mm-hmm. man to do something because men, we kept messing it up.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says very specifically, this is the answer as he's speaking to this prophet Ezekiel. He says, this is God talking. He's going to fix the sin issue here. He's going to fix all the failure and the mistakes and the rebellion and these other gods and this, all this junk. He's going to do something. You're not going to do something. This is what he said. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws. And notice all those I wills in there. It's God.
Wow. Mm.
Don't you remember when you didn't know anything about God and all of a sudden it was so easy for you because you didn't know nothing. Now you know something. Now you're taking confidence in what you know. It's like, you know, you're changing your kids' diapers one day and next thing they're telling you, you know, how to live life and you're wrong. And it's like, what happened? Mm-hmm. When did you become so much smarter and wiser than the one who raised you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 I wills. And everything about us, when he's talking about, you know, Israel and us receiving from him, he says, and I'm just basically going to do this to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. Here are these I wills again. This is I am telling him, telling us, mankind, I will do this. He says, I will. He's dealing with the issues, all of our problems and all of our sin and all the failures of Israel to this point. And it's like God knew the remedy, the redemption remedy was how he was going to do something. He said, I will sprinkle clean water on you. That's God saying he'll do this. You're not doing that. He's doing it. Mm-hmm. And you will be clean. So something he does purifies you. Then he says, I will cleanse you from all your impurities, which means I got impurities, but he will cleanse me from these things. Think about that. And from all idols, all your idols. Then he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I mean, how many people are trying to make themselves have a good heart or a new heart? Mm-hmm. How many people are trying to, like, I'm trying to get the right spirit in me, you know, instead of abiding with God? You got to just abide. He's doing it through his son. I mean, think about it. Then he says, I will remove, this is God, I will remove your heart of stone and I'll give you a heart of flesh. You got a hard heart. You need to go abide with the Lord because he's going to give you this soft heart. Then he says, I will put my spirit in you and I will move on you to cause you to follow my decrees, which means obedience, to follow my decrees and my laws. In other words, he'll give you the grace to obey. So powerful. You think, well, that's the old covenant. No, he talks about it in Romans chapter 8. He says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, what God did, I will give my one and only son, right?
Right.
Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free. So what he did through Jesus, I will give you my son and he will set you free.
Amen.
From the law of sin and death, which he's purifying us, for what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened because of our flesh. In other words, the same thing with Israel. He's going like this, I'm going to have to do something because you're not going to be able to do it. He said, God did. The I am said, I will give my son for you. Mm-hmm. And I'll sprinkle his blood over your life and your heart. God did this thing by sending his one and only son in the likeness of sinful man. And he condemned sin in sinful man, in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in those who live according to the Spirit. I mean, you think about it. That's what he's done. If you are miserable, if you're thinking this is hard, it's hard because you've been bewitched. You have turned this whole love walk into a works walk. And you're trying to do it yourself, and you're telling people about a Jesus that you yourself are rejecting by your own acts of works. I mean, you're not going to bear any fruit when you're just bitter and resentful because you're thinking you're carrying this torch around. It's like, no, you just got to catch up with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll look like to others that you're doing it, but you'll know the only reason that you're doing it is because you're abiding with Jesus, and he's empowering you to do that. That's what we always talk about. Get into an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, we have a simple plan to help you do that. You can go to iabide.org and request your simple plan today. It's free. Go to iabide.org. I'm telling you, everything's going to get lighter when you give it to Jesus. Apart from that, you can't do this. This is an amazing thing. This is the days that we celebrate Christmas, understanding what Jesus has done for us. This is what he's done. God said, I will send my son. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like, this is a good news that God has done this. And it's not only did he do it, you know, through the sprinkling of the blood of Christ on the mercy seat of God in the heavenlies. I mean, think about this. He said, it is finished. I mean, it is finished. But understanding it's difficult for some people who struggle with works, understanding that I still got to do something, but it's finished. No, you and Jesus do it together, and he empowers you to do what he expects from you. Mm-hmm. It's called a relationship, not a religious experience. And he'll give you the grace to actually do what you thought you could never do. I mean, he even says this, the more I wills that goes on, even in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, he goes, this is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel. I mean, he's the one doing it. I mean, if you can't think of anything to praise God about, I mean, this is, understand, this is him working out a redemption plan from the time that we fell in the garden, that God has been working out a plan to bring you into relationship with him. And one day it was so nice and it was sweet. It was wonderful. You were telling everybody, but now you're like, you can't even open your mouth. You're going, this is hard and this is difficult and I can't do this and I can't do that. And it's like, you couldn't do it in the beginning. Remember, he's the one that sent this redemption to you. You have to receive it. Then you have to begin to abide with Jesus. He says this, Hebrews 8:10, he says, this is the covenant I will establish with my people Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their minds and write them on their hearts. This is God. I will be their God and they will be my people. I mean, Paul, when he writes this letter to Ephesus, he's telling him, he says, listen, it's by grace, undeserved favor that you're saved through faith. And not by works, not by yourself. It is a gift of God so that no one can boast. Believe it or not, the reason why people get caught up in these roles of works is because they find value in them. Look what I've done. They look at, even if it's nobody around, they're going like, I've accomplished something, and I've done this, you know, I've memorized the Bible, you know, I've built this big company, and I've got this great family. You know, and all these different things. It's like, really? Or is it God? And it gets hard. It gets difficult because when you go that route, you find out all of a sudden he's letting you carry it. All of a sudden the marriage that was so easy has become a heavy burden to you. All of a sudden the family that was so easy has become a heavy burden to you. All of a sudden the job that was a blessing or the company that was a blessing, the ministry that was a blessing, it's like you just can't stand it. It's because you left the one who gave it to you. You made it about the torch instead of about the one who gave you the torch. You thought, like Rick did, that you could just stand there and look at your ministry, look at your job, look at your business, look at your family, look at your vacation, look at all your stuff and your things and all that. That's what Rick was doing. He's looking at the torch. He was admiring, wow, this is so great. This is... And the whole time, if Jesus is moving, you need to be with him. He says, apart from abiding in him, you can do nothing. We can't do it. But the thing about it is, it's not like, oh, I've got to go hang out with God. It's like, that's why he saved you for a relationship. Yeah. I mean, it's like a husband going like, oh, I got to go home to my wife and kids. Like, yeah, right? But what happens is that that relationship, that whole family is not walking with God.
Yeah.
It's not walking with God because it would be a joy if it was walking with God. You know, your own company, you resent your own business, your own company. You don't want anything because you took it over and you don't abide with God anymore. You don't spend time with him and ask him about what does he want to do with your company today? What does he want to do with the employees anymore? You begin to look at your employees as sources instead of souls. You begin to look at your customers as sources. In souls. You're taking advantage of a soul, not a source, when you diss that particular customer for your business. It's like you missed it. Now it's heavy. Now you can't even pay your taxes. Now you can't even pay your payroll. Now things aren't working right. It's like, you know what? It's time to go back to the I am. And remember, he said, I will sprinkle you with my son's blood. I'll cover you. If you return to your first love, if you come back to me and you acknowledge that you went astray and you tell it like it is. I mean, you just, what I gave you, the torch I gave you, the things I gave you, the reason why you've been so miserable because you gave yourself credit for it. You said the other people did this for you. God was the source. And just said, God, forgive me. You know, I've sinned. I've fallen short. I left. I was bewitched. Somebody's cut in on me. All the things that's been talked about in the Word of God. And it's like, you know what? I'm just going to sit here at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to abide with him today. And ever how today turns out, so be it. But my day, I've already won. I'm working from a place of success. I'm not working for anything because I've already won already. I'm just walking out love and obedience and doing what my King, my Lord and my Savior, the one who's the I am sent for me, He said, I will give you my son, and his blood will be sprinkled on the mercy seat, and your sin will be forgiven once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That's so powerful. So I want to encourage you, if life has gotten heavy, and by the way, the author of life is God himself, if the simplest things in life are resented now in your life, it's because you left Jesus. You've become your own God. I want things this way. This is how I want my marriage. This is how I want my family. This is how I want my job. This is how I want my country. This is how, I mean, you became demanding of life itself. And of course, it's not going to line up. So you're going to be very miserable.
Right.
Then it's going to become very heavy. And now you have a choice. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I encourage you to return to your first love. I mean, he talks to the church of Ephesus in, I think, Revelation chapter 2. He says, listen, you know, you left your first love. It's pretty tragic when you read about it, because he says, if you don't turn back, mm-hmm. if you don't, in other words, you could be doing all these works that the church of Thyatira was doing in Revelation chapter 2, you know, he said, but I still have this against you.
Yeah.
So you can be doing church work and God can have issues with you.
Sure does.
You can be mm-hmm. doing things for God, like Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about, right. and Jesus could say, I never knew you. This is what it's all about. This is not something you do in addition to what you're doing. This is the epicenter, a personal abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, par excellence. Personal abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. It's worth everything. And as you begin to spend time with him, he will reveal his heart to you. He will make things known to you. He'll begin to speak to you through his word, through dreams, through visions. I mean, you'll just be, it's just, that's what you're created for this. You were created for a purpose and a destiny. It's time to let all those works go, lay everything at the cross and say, dear God, I'm coming back to you. I'm coming back to the heart of an abiding relationship with you. Listen, you might not know where to start, because a lot of people, if you talk to them, they would tell you to do more works.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get better. No, you need to spend time with Jesus. Go to iabide.org. iabide.org. We have a free, simple plan waiting for you. Request that plan today and begin it. And stay tuned, man. Stay tuned, ma'am, to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, because we're going to encourage you, because this is birthed out of, and it continues to burn, because we have an abiding relationship with this Jesus, the I Am. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.